Hello, I am Nicolas Sauvage. Welcome to the Corporate Venturing Insider series, where I interview top practitioners in the CVC world and learn with you the best practices and golden nuggets they have accumulated over their careers. This week, we have a special episode for you. In June 2024, we got together with past interviewees to do a special episode of Corporate Venturing Insider. We were joined by past interviewees James Monson of GCV, Beji Yan of 500 Global, Claudia Van Mons of NEA, and Phoebe Wang of Amazon Climate Pledge Front. The event was moderated by Alastair Goldfisher, former editor of the Venture Capital Journal for Reuters. We have pulled a number of great golden nuggets from the interview. Take a listen.
Welcome, everyone. So this is a webinar launch for the Corporate Venturing Insider initiative. I want to share very quickly the intent before we go into the panel. The initial intent for the Corporate Venturing Insider podcast was to help entrepreneurs by getting better investors to support them in their project. And in 2019, when I launched TDK Ventures, I had a lot of help. I had GCV, the Global Corporate Venturing team, helping me learn about the space and hosting events where we could share between CVCs. I also was lucky to go to the VC Unlocked training, which was an initiative with 500 Global and Stanford. And by the way, the first two interviews of the Corporate Venturing Insider podcast was with VC Unlocked alumni. And I wanted this to be a resource for everyone, something that I wish when I started, I could have had. And that's why I wanted to interview practitioners, people who really know about CVCs, who interact with CVCs, who study CVCs. That was during COVID. And I really wanted to be able to double click and triple click so that we could get these golden nuggets. And golden nuggets really means something that's not obvious, but which helps someone to do something better. And so what surprised me is that we are reaching 85 interviews, and every single interview I learn new things, I get new golden nuggets. And one thing which is really cool, if you stay on all the way to the end of this webinar, we are going to share the website where we are going to make all these insights, these golden nuggets, much more digestible. With this, I want to introduce quickly moderator Alastair Goldfisher. He is a seasoned business and venture journalist, and he has devoted decades to cover the venture and startup communities, reporting the journeys of founders, GPs, and LPs. Alastair, all yours.
Thank you. Nicola, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Corporate Venturing Insider webinar. Thank you for that introduction, Nicola. I was just thinking, when I started in college years ago, I wanted to be an environmental reporter. Then I was covering sports, and then I got into business, and then it progressed into venture, and that's been my jam for the last couple of decades. So that's my quick journey, and you never know the paths that you take. So, but happy to be here, and looking forward to hearing from our guests. Just want to take care of a couple of quick housekeeping rules. Our guests, our panelists today are on Zoom, and thank you for all the attendees who are here. You should be muted. You should be, your video camera is off. However, we want this to be interactive, so you can drop in questions into the Q&A chat and we'll get to them. So let's move on. Enough from me. And again, thank you everyone for being here. Let's hear from our panelists. Beji, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us your name, your organization, and what you focus on, please.
Beji Yang, a managing partner at 500 Global. A little bit of context, 500 Global, we're a global early stage venture fund, and we have invested in 3,000 companies across 80 countries. We invest very early, but we also double down and be part of the founder's journey. So we have 35 companies that are valued over $1 billion, and then over 150 companies that are valued $100 million. And Nicolas mentioned we have this program called VC Unlocked. And the reason I started the group is because with the investments that we do in different parts of the world, like we started in Silicon Valley, there are just so many mistakes we know we shouldn't do. So how do we develop playbooks? How do we develop shared knowledge? How do we develop also like a community? So a lot of my time within 500 over the years have really been, how do we streamline the playbooks? How do we ensure all the learnings that we have in venture investing? And because it's very different from parts of the world, it's very different when new trends are coming. So we just want to make sure we'd become much better investors. How do we pass that along?
Great. James, please introduce yourself. Tell us your name, your organization, what you focus on.
Great. Thanks, Alistair. Nice to catch up again. And obviously, yes. Nicola, wonderful success you've had over the past 5 years building the team and really driving the industry on. It's really much appreciated and honored to be here today. Yep. So I set up Global Corporate Venturing and Global University Venture and Assisted Publication to effectively act a bit like a trade paper, a trade association for the ecosystem. So we're delighted and honored to work with more than 71% of the active CVCs. There's more than 2,500 corporates that invest either directly in startups or indirectly as limited partners of venture capital funds, like 500 Startups, a wonderful firm that it is, around the world. And so we act to pull together some news and data, research on the ecosystem. We do events like the GCVI Summit in California or the Global Corporate Venturing Symposium in London. And we do some training and benchmark through the GCV Institute and GCV Keystone Project. So we try to help facilitate and support the ecosystem, but we're learning all the time. And this is our 15th year, and it feels like we're still scratching the surface and learning from the legends that you see around here on this call. So thanks. That's all for me, Alistair.
Awesome. Thanks, James. And I agree, it is impressive what TDK has done in a short amount of time. Phoebe, please introduce yourself.
Thanks to Alistair. It's my honor to be this prestigious panel here. So my name is Phoebe Wan. I'm the investment partner at Amazon's Climate Pledge Fund. It's a $2 billion fund focused on sustainability and climate tech. And I think if you're in the clean tech or climate tech, you know that it has been quite a ride. So far, I've been working in three CVCs. And prior to that, I was an institutional investor. It's definitely amazing to see like how this whole group improves and then also like now playing such an important role in the whole investment ecosystem. Looking forward to the discussion.
Awesome. Thank you. And Claudia, please introduce yourself.
From 2000, I was one of the founding member of IBM Corporate Venture. In year 2000, we started that group. So it's almost a quarter century looking back. But it was so new back then. It was very few of us. James and I were key partners from almost day one. It's amazing to see this community evolving to the level of relevance that it is today. And of course, the new leaders that has emerged since. I think Nicholas, Betty, Phoebe, these are all testimonial of how much more sophistication this community has achieved with the level of the caliber of the people, the level of investment, not to mention the capital invested has become such a relevant part of the whole venture ecosystem. I have since retired in 2015. So I'll build my portfolio. So I'm sort of a post-career. I was doing a so new back then that Harvard wrote a case about what I do and Stanford wrote a case about what I do. And from there, I became a guest lecturer in many of the classes. And about 5 years ago, I received an appointment from Stanford Business School. So I do teach venture capital. I track very closely, thanks to James. We have a very key class on corporate venture capital, and we bring people in the community to talk about how this community has evolved.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for those introductions. And Claudia, I really love that word community, especially here in the CVC world. Let's get into the meat of it. But first, maybe pose this question to James about the growth of CVCs over the last few years. And we've seen all manners of companies establish corporate venturing units, and the numbers have grown. How do you see the growth of CVCs over the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, great question, Alistair. I think it's really interesting to look at where the industry's come from. If you roll the clock back to, say, 2010, just after the global financial crisis, one of the things I thought about, and when you talk to people, everyone would say, oh, there's Intel. And then they would mention one other corporate that was doing it. It might be a Pfizer or other groups. If you take the clock back those 10, 15 years or so, it was only about 30 or 40 billion globally. And so when we set up Global Corporate Venture, we asked those two questions: who does corporate venturing and what do they do? And we came to a list of about 250 corporates around the world that were active in some shape or form. Now, as I mentioned before, there's more than 2,500 active CVCs last year. But, and this is what I think one of the interesting questions that perhaps we could talk about today is, in that time period, across that 15 years, there's been far more corporates that have maybe started and then stopped. And this was always one of the issues that the industry had was, okay, you would start, you would do it for the right reasons. Maybe you have some sort of degree of traction, but can you keep going? Can you have that persistence that is so vital for all the entrepreneurs who are thinking 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ahead? Can you be on that journey with them in a way that perhaps some VCs could do? And I think one of the things that you look at is about 2/3 of the corporates in that time period have started and have stopped. So there might be 2,500 compared to 250. This order of magnitude increase in active CVCs. There's 500 groups with more than a 10-year track record. This is all fantastic. There's greater survivorship than if you were setting up as a VC. But still, that's a lot of groups, a lot of experienced corporates who are used to success, who can't quite get this to work. And I think the golden nuggets that Nicola talks about in the Corporate Venture Insider are so vital to be able to help people through this journey, understanding the various inflection points, as we talk about it on the GCV Institute. What do you need to do to get through your first 3 to 4 years? I think will be important. And I think as I look ahead, one of the challenges is, will there be, given that the market is cooler in venture capital now than it was in 2021, 22, the real height, zero interest rates, basically free cash, go into a lot of startups. Will the corporates, particularly the 1,000 or more, which are new, which don't have the returns, which don't have 4, 5, 10 years track records, will they be able to survive? And I think that's an important challenge. If they do, and if they're able to learn the lessons and learn on the experience that have got those 10, 20 or 30 years track records and actually continue to invest, then I'm really positive we will again see an order of magnitude increase in the number of CVCs, because the data is very clear. If you are active as a corporate venturer, your corporate parent does better, both by share price and the value it creates as a firm. And corporates help the VCs that they're LPs in, and both together help the entrepreneurs. If you're backed by a corporate and a VC, you're less likely to go bankrupt and you're more likely to exit and exit at a higher valuation than if you're not backed by a corporate and VC. Those powerful drivers mean the industry is in a great opportunity. We just need to spread the word, and then we will see this order of magnitude increase and make the world a better place and deliver the sort of change that we need to deal with climate change or anything else that's going to come up on our plates.
Incredible. What something you said there I'd love to build off of for the rest of the panel is, what makes CVC successful?
Listening to James, you know, we all get, and I get asked as a corporate board member, you know, what make the startup company be able to disrupt the incumbent with much more resources, distribution channel in place? And one of the things that James mentioned, and I think for all of us corporate venture, should be a tremendous values that we bring back to the parent company, which is just sort of a, you don't just talk to yourself, you are constantly monitoring the changes, the evolution of new technology, new business model, of course. Now with the AI, I think there's a new book that we all talk about, this venture mindset, from all my colleagues from Stanford Business School. And it has this 10 building block of sustainable growth company. And one of it is talk externally with other people. Don't just be so inward focused about your own technology, your own marketing side. And one of the things I know when I was at IBM Venture that was highly appreciated as a corporate executive is I have a point of view that was so fresh, so relevant to the corporation at large, especially right now, as you said, Alistair, everything is shifting with AI, right? Not to mention the climate.
And I think as James did a really good job setting out the stage, and Claudia mentioned about on the corporate side, which is a really refreshing view. I would love to talk about from the startup side, why I think that if you look at just a few years ago, like corporate ventures are still new and you still have a lot of feedback from companies saying that, hey, we want to make sure that the cap table is well-constructed, and that well-constructed means like you want to have the top institutional VCs, but not the CVCs. But what I've seen in the past 2 to 3 years is that CVC has been playing such an important role. And I think it's primarily also because we have such a kind of wide wealth of knowledge, like coming from the global corporate venturing, from the corporate venture insiders, all this work that has been put together, that we know that it was the best playbook to bring forward, to bring the value to the startups. Take Amazon Climate Platform, for example. When we invested in Rivian, we bring ourselves not only as an investor, but we are help them build out their pipeline. So we have ordered their truck like before they even have the plan out there, and really focus on helping the company to scale from 0 to 1, which we think most corporates are very good at those scalability. Yeah, so very excited and optimistic for the future of CVCs.
Yeah, and I think from a lot of the people that join, you might already have the CVC, or you might be thinking convincing your mother, sort of entity mothership, to start one. And I come more for like a just pure financial fund, right? So we have one customer, which is I have a financial sort of return for my LPs, and the customer really is the founders. I definitely appreciate from a CVC component when you have, in addition to the financial component, there are strategic components that you need to attend to. And I think most importantly, sometimes it's very hard to quantify how that strategic component means. But let me maybe give an example that I feel very often the corporates are trying to backtrack something they haven't done. Like in short, 10 years, right? I'm Brazilian, and in Brazil, you would never imagine like a venture or like a new bank will emerge. But the last 10 years, like Nubank, today is like the largest bank in Brazil. They dethroned 6 days ago a market cap value from Itaú. Like 10 years ago, like people were like, never, ever that will ever happen, right? And in this short 10 years, you have this startup that says, okay, I don't care if there are 5 incumbents here, I'm going to just go and build and be what the customers want, right? But can you afford not watching what's happening? So I think there's a very important component, thinking for a corporate a venture component, is like you can try to build innovation from inside out, but can you use this instrument to really capture what's happening from outside in, right? Like, is your business going to be there in 5-10 years? And I think the number one thing is think about the reputation. I think James mentioned, can you survive? It's 2 years, 3 years. It's intentional to think about the reputation. Very high NPS score funds respond quickly to founders on their decision. So however you structure a decision, however you structure IC, think from this sort of bigger picture of what can help you create the reputation and brand, right? The second component that I think is really important to incorporate as part of the golden nugget is your understanding, your firm understanding of risk. Because I think a lot of the corporates are very afraid of the failure component, right? I know, like when I met Nicolas, for instance, I was thinking like the only thing that I know about TDK is the cassette. But he built such an amazing community. He built such a great brand, like TDK Ventures. People know what they're doing. So it's not so much, oh, with all respect, I know a lot of people are like, so this firm sounds really great, right? Theoretically, they can do a lot of value add. But ultimately, like you want someone like Nicolas sitting with you as a co-investor, you want him sitting with the founders, because ultimately venture, I know we are in the process of also being disrupted, is about people. So I would just highlight like this sort of 3 components that I mentioned, which I think is really important, just as maybe some of the corporate ventures survive in the years to come.
Yeah, I think if I touch on 3 points, PVC growth. Let's assume for a second that the 10x we saw in the last 10 years could be 10x again for the next 10 years. Let's assume it could be possible. That's 25,000 CVCs, okay? They will need our help as a community. There's no way that they will all know how to do it. And some will come from smaller motherships, some will come from bigger motherships. And to Beji's point about reputation, it's all about design choices you make, and how you make sure that you serve well your stakeholders, your shareholders, your customers, and deciding who is your customer. Beji, you're so right. I think this was one of the best decisions we made, is we made it very clear our customer is the entrepreneur and everything else is shareholders, stakeholders. And these design choices, I don't know, I wish maybe I should do that as a project, but it's probably 200 to 500 design decisions. Okay, so there's no one CVC alike. But the best practices, the golden nuggets, is helping hopefully many people starting a CVC to think about what are the design choices. Do I want an investment committee to meet monthly, or do I want them only when there is a design a decision to invest or not? Do I want them to be five with the mothership inside, or do I want them to be independent? So many decisions that needs to be conscious versus imposed. And your point about cannot afford, I think Itaú is such a good example, because they would be the one which 10 years ago would never believe a startup would take over. No way. And so you could argue that any company that believes it could be disrupted one day, or maybe more so the one that don't believe they could be disrupted, definitively need a corporate VC. It's not about can you afford a CVC, it's can you afford not to have one?
No, it's good stuff. I was listening to you folks, and you know, what are the challenges that you and other CVCs are facing? You know, in the next 5 years, what should you and your peers be paying more attention to? Is it something geopolitical? Is it some kind of macroeconomic issue? Is it sector specific? Anyone?
I think the biggest challenge is that when you're in venture, it's a 10 years tenure, sometimes longer. And of course, for large corporation, 10 years is not a short time, but sometimes the initiative of the CEO doesn't stay that long, right? So I think the biggest challenge or the biggest torch to carry, resist, because 2023 was winter for everybody. It was winter for us. They did a survey, and the survey is the winter is over, right? And best time to invest is when not a lot of people are investing. Now that everyone's investing in AI, might not be the best time to come in investing. So I think a lot of component with the venture is a little counter-cyclical. And sometimes it's really hard to measure your short-term strategic component. Like, you have a public company, right? This quarter, you need to say, how are you saving? How are you becoming efficient? And then you're like, no, wait, I have this instrument for 10 years. Don't worry about it. And people are like, what are you thinking, right? So I think there's a lot of pressure.
I think that's a great point. If I could just pick up on a little bit, Alistair.
Yes.
Reggie, I think this idea, we do an annual survey of about 500 CVCs through the GCV Keystone. And one of the things that comes through is just that sort of consistency. But equally, some groups that you were expected to be around are no longer around. And how do they understand how to keep going and what those inflection points come through? And usually we find the first inflection point is that year 3 to 4. And often it is time to, particularly a change in a senior corporate executive, such as the CEO. The average CEO lasts about 4.5 years. Get them started. They want to show something. They move on. Someone comes in. How do they provide that continuity if it isn't someone already internally? The second one comes maybe year around 7 to 8. Liz, who you could probably see on the sort of caption here, runs the GCV Institute after sort of 20 plus years of experience helping and supporting this ecosystem. And that sort of shift from, okay, you got through the first inflection point, you go into a growth stage, and then how do you show that resilience? How do you keep the team? How do you understand the challenges that come from compensating, or equally, if you do start to get some good exits, retaining people if other VCs want to pick them up because they have a track record? How do you do what the great things that TDK have been doing is building up that portfolio development? How do you help land that value of working with the startups, not just inside the startup, but inside the corporate, the parent company? So I think there's some really powerful golden nuggets to come out. But the key, exactly as you say, is that resilience. Getting through, finding the right VCs to work with, finding some great entrepreneurs, and getting that knowledge come through. One of Claudia's colleagues, she mentioned Ilya, who wrote the book, The Venture Mindset, talks about doing a survey of senior corporate executives just within California and within the US, who know probably more about venture than anyone else around the world. And even there, 40% of senior executives don't know anything about venture or enough. So that level of upward communication is really hard to do well. So
I think, if I can be challenging, I actually don't think it's difficult, but I think it's hard work. It's a lot of discipline. It's communication and a lot of communication. There's nothing difficult in itself, but it's really hard work and discipline and communication. And if I think about all the golden nuggets that we keep sharing through all these interviews, it's all about this podcast of best practices to make them available to everyone. And if I think about best practices, it's about making sure we don't make mistakes. That's one thing. But two, there's another category of best practices, which is all about how do you leverage a superpower from your mothership? And how do you bring that superpower, something that very few people have, or maybe just you have, to the entrepreneurs? And if you do that well, then you actually have an ability to bring value quickly to all your stakeholders. And so I wouldn't say it's difficult, but they are patient by design. Like Beji said, it's 10 years, it's planned, the limited partners know it will take 10 years to get the money back, or at least at the expectation setting. For CVCs, they always start with patience, and then a CEO change or something happens, or the power law, which is that most of the investments won't do well, happens too quickly versus the one that do really well, which takes a long time, like overnight success is 10 years in VC. And at that point, the patience might change very quickly. And I think that's maybe the message to the management of this mothership, is that patience is required to keep bringing value. But there is a mission, or there is an obligation on the CVC, is to show the value over time. We have to communicate that value.
Thank you. And there's never enough time, but in the 10 minutes or so that we have left, Claudia, I want to start off with you. Looking ahead, what is it that we're seeing in CVC? What kind of trends are taking place that specifically are impacting the CVC community?
Today, sitting on the sideline rather than doing the job. As I said, sitting as a corporate public company corporate director, I see that level of what is going on out there, right? There's a little bit of a FOMO, I think, is especially with the example of Itaú, even the very large, very well-established company are really starting to think about in what way this whole wave is going to disrupt me, not just the regulatory, all the changes that we all care about in the environment and social and government, but also the AI as a disruptor. And they all understand the potential impact of that from a level of efficiency, customer intimacy, whatever metric you choose to measure. So I see the trend out there where the corporate venture strategic mission is going to be overweighted because of all the needs that the corporations see as a part of the innovation spectrum that are taking place, the venture being one of the most relevant, right? People are actually putting money where their mouth is, which is a lot better than the people pontificating and doing research on the subject. So I see that very positive trend coming to the community as a whole.
I see a lot of questions coming in. And I know, going back to your earlier comment, you've mentioned AI a couple of times, Claudia. Are there other technologies?
Yeah, I think Phoebe should weigh in, because definitely what Phoebe is doing is so relevant. Phoebe, are you still with us? I don't see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Sure. So let me just comment on kind of the hardware, because we're talking a lot about the software part of the AI. But for the hardware, it's actually one thing that a lot of people are missing or not putting a lot of attention to, but just there is going to be a huge revolution coming out if we're going to support the next ChatGPT, the next OpenAI. I think it's definitely very important to also focus on the infrastructure. And if you're looking at the infrastructure side, we cannot go inside for the investments without CVCs, because there are a lot of technical due diligence, there are a lot of scale up and personal public funds and facilities set up, and all those are very important knowledge that needs to come from the corporate side. So definitely looking forward to more of those investments coming out of that.
Alyssa, maybe I want to talk about this question about trends. I think I see a trend where more and more corporate VCs have a platform team, and that platform team helps to connect the entrepreneurs with the right teams inside the mothership. And if I look at TDK Ventures platform team, they know intimately more than 40 different TDK teams all across the world. There's no way an entrepreneur that's just getting started, early stage, would be able to know who to contact and so on. That, I think, is a trend which I would like to see growing over time, because They are going to share insights, which then helps with the exploration, knowing where to go, where not to go, where the disruption is coming from.
Yeah, and then adding a little bit on both sides, there is a quite good survey I saw done by Silicon Valley Bank on CVC. I think they surveyed over 250 corporate ventures. So 75% interest was in AI, 50% was in climate tech, and then around 34% was in frontier tech that goes into the IoT component. So I don't think there's surprises of area of interest. I think what the issue with these three areas, especially if it's, for instance, like looking at AI that is the hottest, is how can you get in the hottest deal, right? Like, I think that goes into the main thing we talk about in the VC Unlock program. What's your superpower? What's going to make you differentiated? Because the best entrepreneurs, they're going to choose capital. It's not like the other way around. If sometimes a deal comes to you, because they might have not been able to race with whoever they wanted to, right? So there's a big component, I think, on the CVC component is to look at, is there an adverse selection? And how do you swim against that, right? Because I used to think the CVC, like the early, many CVC weren't really sure what they were doing, but that level of sophistication has changed. And I think, Nicholas, you brought such an important point, which we always talk about internally at 500 as well. What make us differentiated so that we are the first choice of founders?
And thank you everyone for participating. I would, a hand for our panelists. You all did great. Thank you. A virtual hand. I would love to hear more, but we're going to have to close it out. Thank you, everyone. James, Beji, Claudia, Phoebe. Safe travels, everyone. Thank you.